Now, Jerry, I want to steer away from the music for a sec. I mean, it's been 30 or over 30 years since the Misfits.
Oh, almost 35.
It's been a while, yeah, since since you guys first started scaring the shit out of parents everywhere. Now, during that time, you guys have done some really cool things, but there's one story I found on the internet that I wanted to get the story from you. Apparently, you guys were arrested in New Orleans for digging up or attempting to dig up the remains of a voodoo practitioner. I mean, what in the green hell were you guys up to?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, things always get blown out of proportion. You know, my mother, at the time, MTV had just started. And my mother, you know, I called my mother, and I had actually just gotten out of jail. And my mother goes, oh, hey, I saw you guys on MTV. I said, oh, you're kidding. I thought MTV was actually going to be cool and cover us. She goes, yeah, you got arrested. What are you doing, Grave Robin? And, you know, we weren't Grave Robin. You know, I'm very respectful for the dead. We almost had a problem in Salvador when we were going to go down. When we were down there, they said, you know, that they were going to blow up the venue because that we weren't respectful to the dead with the makeup and all the
oh, wow.
Stuff, you know.
Oh, damn.
Hey, look, that's not the case. You know, I grew up totally in a my grandfather was, you know, hardcore Catholic. He used to take me and my uncle to church, over to the cemetery with flowers and all that kind of fun stuff. So, you know, I grew up really having a respect for religion and a respect for people who've passed and family that you lost. But it seems to me that, you know, a lot of people misinterpret our science fiction outlook and perception of art as something, you know, more on the dark, sinister side, which it's not. Now, the thing that happened in New Orleans was, a bunch of our friends are going to a cemetery in New Orleans. They bury everybody on top of the ground because the ground is wet.
Mm-hmm.
And they put you in a mausoleum. And within a year, your body decomposes and turns into ash. So the thing is that a lot of these things had gotten run down over the years. And we had just finished a show, and a buddy of ours who was actually a mercenary, used to be hired to go around the world fighting armies and stuff. A good friend of ours said, hey, let's go down to the cemetery and check it out. Now, he's like 6'8". 350 pounds, and you know, he's just like a killing machine. So we figured out, you know, if we go with him, you know, nothing's gonna happen to us, except we had a guy with a loud motorcycle that came with us. And we were in the projects where there's a lot of murders and a lot of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody must have called the cops when they heard the motorcycle, and the cops came down and arrested us all. And you know, we were just out there sightseeing in the middle of the night. You know, a lot of people think we were out rummaging through people, you know, dead people stuff. Well, I wouldn't do that. Not my character makeup, you know.
Well, the Misfits are creepy, but we're glad to hear that you're not that creepy.
Yeah, well, no, we could be, but we choose not to. Yeah.
Your latest album, The Devil's Reign, was released in October. How does this Misfits record differ from your previous releases?
This record is complete. This is the first time I've ever done anything in my life that I haven't looked back on and said, oh, I would have done this a little differently, or I would have made that a little louder, or I would have changed this, or I would have done that. To me, this album is perfect. And it just, you know, it's a triumph for me. Because, you know, when I started the band with Glenn and I was working in the machine shop all day and putting all my efforts and my money into trying to make a band go, because I really wanted to be in a band. I didn't want to work in the machine shop my whole life. And it just came down to the point where when Glenn and I split, I went to really nurture the machine shop and set it up. We were moving our factory from the city out into the country into our own building. That took about a solid year and a half to do. And during that time, Glenn continued to go on and then started to market the Misfits. And by the time I tried to catch up and gain the ground back and get the name back, I was in a heap of trouble. And the bottom line was that, you know, I learned over the years that you really got to pay attention to every aspect of what you do, whether it's lawyers and accountants and, you know, all kinds of stuff, press, talking with you, talking with the kids, you know, doing the right thing, doing this, doing that. And this new album, it finally came to a point where I had to take the role of playing the bass, which I've done in the band the whole time, and also the lead vocal. And, you know, Dez had to step up to the plate, too, because now we needed somebody who was going to write and play lead and do everything like that. And I wanted my brother to work with us, but he wasn't about it. He was about doing something else, so he split. And I was kind of left in a position where I either had to make it or let it go. And I wouldn't beat a dead horse, and I wouldn't drag the band down and make it, turn it into something that was garbage just for the sake of being in the band. You know, the band is bigger than me. So what happened was that I kind of put everything I had into this record, waited until I got the right guys. It took me 10 years to get the right guys and the right songs and the right produce. Well, I knew Ed was going to be my guy from the last album and, you know, get everything going. And once I did, I realized that making this record, I kind of put everybody back to say, hey, look, you shouldn't have ever brought the band back. They can't say that anymore. I think this is our best record. So I don't care what anybody else thinks. And that's the funny thing about it. You know, I get into arguments with people all the time. I say, look, I don't care what you think. I like it. That's, you know, that's a good enough for me. You know, if you don't like it, don't buy it. You know, it's fine.
That's all that matters, yeah?
Yes, I like it. I'll sell one copy at least. I'll go buy one.
Now, Jerry, you'll be bringing the Devil's Reign Tour down under very soon with your Melbourne show on the night of December 3rd at the Hi-Fi. What can people expect from a Misfits live show?
Well, the thing is, our live shows come up a couple of notches over with this album. We open the show with 10 songs off the album in a row, just like they are on the record.
Wow.
And then we do some real classic stuff. I even step back and do She, which I recorded when I was 17, one of the first songs I ever learned in the band. We do stuff over American Psycho. We do Scream, which everybody's been dying for us to do. We haven't done it in a while. And then we do, we end the set with like 10 thrash killers. You know, Mommy, Can I Go Out and Kill Tonight? And, Death Comes Ripping, and things like this. The set has got something for everybody. It's got something for the older fans. They just got to stick around until their turn comes. That's all. You know, so, you know, I don't want to hear, oh, you should do this or do that. You just got to wait. It's all there. So it's a complete show. I think it's the best show that we've ever put together, and you know, I'm excited about it. We're rocking.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jerry, we're very excited. We're going to be there to make sure that the Misfits rock the absolute bejesus out of Melbourne. Thank you for being on the show, and good luck with your Down Under tour.
Hey, well, God bless. Thank you so much.